Hello, and welcome back to, well, Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants, a podcast made by ridiculous idiots who curse like sailors and whose fathers reek of elderberries. We don't know Jack or shit, and Jack left town. I'm Turd Ferguson, here to guide you through this cosmic carnival of conspiracy. Let's rewind to the days of shoulder pads and neon, the Cold War era. December 1980, a time when tensions were high, fashion was questionable, and everyone was just a little paranoid about whose missile was bigger. Our stage? Rendlesham Forest, Suffolk, England.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey guys, how's it going? Well, we're already having fun because I've got tears in my eyes. Off camera antics, I guess. Off mic antics.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So, hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. Zach, what is up, my man? How are you doing?
I'm very well, and the name's Turd. Turd Ferguson. Oh,
yeah. That's not my name. Jesus. Yeah.
It's fun for dinner.
Turd Ferguson. Lindy, how are you?
I'm good.
I'd ask the Todd, but we're in a fight right now, if you can't tell by our hoodies.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's blue versus red.
What's up, Cardinals, the Todd?
Cardinals versus Cubs, right? Is that the right one?
Wrong sport. Right cities.
Sorry about that.
We got it. But Todd, how are you doing, man?
I am doing well thus far.
Good. Good deal. And Zach's got, well, I'm excited about this.
You are? Do you even know what the fuck this is?
I didn't know this. No, I didn't know until I heard the intro. And I'm like, yeah.
I know, I like kept you guys completely in the dark. I think I just labeled this as Zach's episode.
Zach's turn.
Zach's turn, yeah.
Since you brought up the 80s, there's always been a lot of things about the 80s bothered me. But
cocaine, right? The cocaine.
There is nothing. No, okay. There's nothing wrong with. What is wrong? Did you ever tight roll your pants?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Like late 80s.
It was called pegging. It was called pegging.
I couldn't do it. I just seen it, and I was like, "What is wrong with you?"
Well, at the time, Matt, you know, they sold pants that were like, I don't know, they.
Flared?
They weren't flared. They like
very narrow.
Yeah, they went in and I always had hand me downs, so I always had like the boot cut jeans and shit. So yeah, I
my was favorite. My favorite. But well, I've had OC.
In the 80s, it wasn't like, cool though.
I never cared what was cool. I still wear cargo shorts because it just I like having pockets on the side to put my shit in. So I don't care what's cool. It's whatever's comfortable. But yeah. I've always had the OCD thing. Zach very well knows about, but even back in the day, I was like, no, your pants have to go around the tops of your shoes or it looks stupid. It's uncomfortable and it's weird.
Yep. Damn, so, sure.
I never could do that. My sister would tight roll her pants. Of course, her
trying to be cool.
On the top of her head was probably 3 foot tall, too. A lot of white rain.
Come on, man. Be nice.
She went through white rain like fucking poison.
I want to touch your hair, but when I do, it's like poison.
Not the Cool House Cooper. Well done. Okay.
Well, I thought we would take a break from the murder and mayhem again. And we would delve into some UFO shit.
All right.
Cool.
Heck yeah.
Unless, to the air. Unless everybody's going to like chime in and be like, you guys need to talk about guitars more.
I'm not going to bring a guitar. I made an ass of myself in the last episode.
No, you didn't. The last episode was wonderful. Bravo, both of you. Sorry that.
Wish you both would have been here because it was a fun episode.
Especially afterwards because we both had guitars out and we were trying to figure out the unsolved mysteries theme when we were both playing it on our guitars.
If you have any information, please call our producers.
You know how the theme song goes. Please contact our producers at hmfpod@gmail.com. Send us the tab.
Yeah, I played it at an octave high just so we wouldn't get in any kind of legal troubles.
we never aired it, so it's all good.
That's true.
I cut all that shit off. I forgot we were recording, actually. We had like an hour and 40 minutes there. But
we're sitting there fucking around with guitars, and he goes, ah, fuck, we're still recording.
Yeah.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
You're damn right. It's a fucking hell of a drug. Ooh. All right. You ready?
Yeah, I've been ready. Yeah.
All right. Let's set the stage, folks. So the Cold War is in full swing. There's a geopolitical tug of war between NATO and the Warsaw Pact. Tensions are sky high, and the threat of the unknown looms larger than ever. So there's two bases occupied by American soldiers on the outskirts of Rendlesham Forest. There's RAF Woodbridge, I'm sorry, and then Bentwater. And these are both in England, about 90 miles north of London. And they're not just strategic outposts. They're like a front line in a global chess match, so to speak, where, like, if something goes down, this is going to be where they launch out of. Like, they've got some warthogs there that they can go from. So these are both American manned air forces bases. And we have a Todd here for that. He can neither confirm nor deny, I'm sure. But just keep in mind as we, you know, venture into this.
Bentwater had F-111s.
They also had warthogs. From everything that I read about.
That's one of my favorite, as far as it looks.
Is that what we're doing? They had warthogs? What's a warthog?
You know, it's like from fucking G.I. Joe, man. Like,
I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah.
Exactly. See, he knows what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ, Todd. Was it
twin engine on the side, side on the back? Yep. Usually had a shark mouth on it if you was watching G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. Exactly.
It's official designation term of it is called A-10.
Okay, sure. If you say so. You're the Air Force guy.
So it's not commonly referred to as a warthog? Did we only get that from, like, cartoons after schools when we got out?
It's a warthog, but nobody calls it a warthog.
All right, then fuck you. Moving along. So just keep in mind as we venture into this that this is the backdrop of a world that's on the edge of, like, possible nuclear war, where every rustle in the tree could be more than just the wind. It could be the goddamn Ruskies.
Russell, why are you in that tree?
Stop to be done, you fucker. If he dies, he dies.
I must break you.
Exactly. Yes. So let's go. Here's the weird thing about this whole incident is this is a UFO incident that did not happen just one night. It happened two nights in a row.
Okay.
Which makes it really fucking odd. What? Number two, it happens on a military base. So you have.
Was I the only one that's seen the balloons?
I was hoping somebody else seen it too.
Oh my God!
He just said UFOs and then weird shit happened. I was like, do they got him? Did they get him? They got him, didn't they?
did we get the bad guy? What's going on?
I don't know what the fuck you were doing, but man, the balloons came out. I was like,
Zach's getting shut down by the government for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time. All right. Can I move along here, people?
Sorry.
See the balloons?
They're not condoms. They're balloons for a party. Anyway. So the first night is December 26th, the day after Christmas, 1980. Okay. So both of these bases were operating with limited staff. Some of the men were away on leave due to the holidays. And multiple troops spotted strange flashing lights while patrolling the area outside of the east gate of Woodbridge. They claimed to see a red and blue light that kept flashing on and off, like kind of on top of each other, deep in the tree line of the forest. Go ahead. You're going to say something? Anyone?
So like police lights, but the wrong way?
Yeah, like on top of each other, and then they'd flip. So these guys that saw this, they were all thinking that like this could be like a downed aircraft that come down in the forest, but they didn't hear any noise that would indicate a crash. And that was kind of like, well, what the fuck is this then? One of these guys, his name was, Airman John Burroughs. He phoned it into HQ. Then they were patched through to Sergeant Jim Penniston, through like three or four other fucking people. Todd can tell you all about this. It's a chain of command thing, I think. He was a security supervisor at Royal Air Force Base Woodbridge, and he was who was on duty. So he heads down to the East Gate with his driver, whose name was Edward Cabin Sang. That's all. I don't know about that. And so he begins to question all these men about the apparent crash that they thought they had seen. And one of these guards, whose name was Bud Steffens, he spoke up and said, "It didn't crash, sir. It landed."
Okay.
Kind of sounds like the beginning of like, it sounds like it should be in a fucking movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, it didn't
crash. It landed. So at this point.
Let's go kill it, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where it is, sir, but it didn't crash. It landed. So Penniston contacted all the major airports and all the other Air Force bases in the area to see if anything had been caught on radar. And sure as shit, they discovered that a bogey had popped up near the area but had vanished somewhere over the base.
Uh-oh.
Near Rendition Forest. The same object had appeared on Bentwater's radar as well. But they passed it off as equipment error because of its rate of speed. Like the operators there claimed to see the object go completely across their 60-mile scope in 2 to 3 seconds.
So in 1980, radar was good enough to pick up a UFO going that quickly, but we couldn't find the Malaysian aircraft. Is that what I'm hearing? Todd is.
That's what we're saying.
Airplane go up, airplane come down. It didn't crash. It landed.
Landed. A little rough.
It crashed. It landed. You gotta say it like that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Penniston, and I'm not saying penis, but I want.
I was fighting back the giggles, but I was.
Sorry. It's hard not to, but I'm trying to. It's a UFO episode, so you gotta kind of keep it, you know.
Yep.
So, Burroughs. Go ahead.
That's going to bring up his butthole anytime.
Yeah.
Now.
What?
I was going to say, if it's.
I have no intentions.
Ask me about my butthole.
About gay porn, for sure.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
There we go. Nothing. There's no gay porn in this episode, as far as I know. So, Penniston takes Burroughs and Master Sergeant Chandler with him in his Jeep, driven by his driver, Cap'n Sag. And they began driving towards this light in the forest.
Cap'n Sack?
Cap'n Sag.
Cap'n Sack.
Can I move on? You good? Mm-hmm. You good? All right.
He was the... Sorry.
Go on.
I was going to say, he later invented the Cap'n Sack kids and became rich from selling those dolls.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. All right. So they start driving towards this light in the forest, and when they get really close, they leave the Jeep, and they tell Cap'n Sag to stay there, and the other three men proceed into the forest on foot. They try to stay in contact through their radios, but all four of them said that their radio stopped working once they entered the forest.
Yeah, I'd have been fighting that motherfucker to stay in the Jeep. I'd be like, sorry, I'm a better driver than you. You better go with them. I'll stay here. I'll be ready to go when you guys come out.
Fucking driver.
Yeah. Nice staple.
I try. So Pennison had Chandler return to the Jeep to let Cabin Sag know that their radios were not working, and he and Burroughs continued towards the lights. Okay. And as they get continually closer, they notice the air begins to fill with this like tingling, like static electricity. And they say it becomes increasingly difficult to walk.
Yeah, probably because of fear. What the fuck are you even doing?
No. Like, run away. They say, so it's December in England. It's below freezing. And they said that it was like the further they went, it became increasingly more difficult to walk. It was like they were wading through water to their waist. Like, I think they said it was like wading through soup. That's how they described it.
Sounds like a bad soup, dream.
A soup or a stew?
It's more of a chowder.
They didn't mention any meat. So, less chunks. More broth.
A stoop.
Yeah. So when they reached this light source in the clearing of trees, when they do, they're both blinded by this sudden bolt of white light.
So you're telling me they were blinded by the light? Because I heard Todd snicker already, and I know this.
Not a douche. What the fuck it was. A deuce.
I'm revved up like a deuce.
Are you another runner in the night?
Oh, yeah, baby. Have you seen me run?
I'll be right here.
I'm sorry. My mind, I've really got off track because now I want to go make grilled cheese and some tomato soup since you've been talking about this. It's just like, it's cold outside.
Matt, what are you doing?
It's cold outside.
We're in England, right?
Yes, we're in jolly old England. So,
you need meat pies and tomato soup.
Meat
or pies. Like some sausage, like some
boiled bangers, something boiled
and mash, something. Yeah,
bangers and mash.
Ireland. Okay, sorry, Zach.
What are we talking about again?
Food.
We're not talking about gay porn. I can tell you that much.
Talking about all the soups I want to get into right now. Some New England clam chowder.
Well, I want to get into some soups right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Zach, back to the story. Walking into the light, harder to walk.
So they reach this light source in the clearing, and as soon as they do, they're both blinded by the sudden bolt of white light, and they both hit the dirt, thinking that whatever it is fucking blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a few seconds, they realize it's just a super bright flash of light. And at this point, it gets weird because both men...
This is where it gets weird?
Yeah.
I would have already ran away.
The reason it gets weird is because both men claim to have experienced different things.
Okay.
That's the weird part about this story.
I felt the insertion.
I felt the relief. To do with gay porn, motherfucker.
I felt I was pitching. I felt I was catching. Those are two things. I thought I was different.
And you were the catcher. Nope. We were both pitching and both catching. Ooh, but there's somebody up there.
Got crazy out there.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along.
Yep.
All right. So according to Peniston's account, he stood up to see a triangular shaped craft with rounded edges and two little wings and a dorsal fin that was approximately 9 feet long and 9 feet wide, sitting on three legs on the ground.
Oh, wow. That's one of the weirdest descriptions since we've done Mothman with that craft landed.
Yeah.
It sounds like a giant maxi pad.
The ones with wings.
Wings. It's got wings.
Damn it, Lindy.
Good pull. So Peniston noted that it had a metallic surface that was equipped with these weird symbols or markings on it, and that it pulsed with a weird, strange light that reminded him of a lava lamp. Like, it had a clear glass exterior with weird pulsing liquid that glowed moving around inside it.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He said on top of the dorsal fin was this bright white light. That's the one that had flashed. He said it made no sound. And as he went towards it, he said the thickness got more intense until he reached a certain point. And then as soon as he was within 10 feet of the craft, he entered into this. He's like, I went into a bubble.
So what you're saying is that they both used drugs before they went searching for this.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
it's a flying lava lamp, man. I don't know.
Fucking lava lamp, man.
Really? That's our giant maxi pad, dude.
Oh, shit.
You thought it was red bubbles, man? I thought it was blood stains on that bad boy.
Yeah, man.
So at this point, Peniston said all the sounds of the forest fell silent, and he turned around to speak to Burroughs, who was only 10 feet behind him, but Burroughs was completely still, he was frozen in place. And then he picked up his radio, and he tried his radio, got no response. And at this point, he pulls out his little notebook that he carries with him. It's like a police notebook, so he can take notes and stuff. And he begins to, note its appearance, the symbols, and he starts making a couple of sketches. And then he reaches out.
He had the wherewithal to do that. That's crazy. I'd have been, I'd have lost my shit.
I think he thought at first, fuck, is this a bomb? And then he's like, okay, I'm not going to fucking die. So I need to, take notes because I got to write a fucking report about this shit.
In his handy dandy notebook.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let's write down the next clue.
Picture pages, picture pages. Six pages.
Blue skidoos. You can't do.
Sorry. Oh, fuck.
Here we go.
So at this point. Oh, shit. At this point,
this is why you need Spotify so you can just watch the episodes. Yes.
At this point,
you're missing out on 90% of the show, really.
This town reaches out and he touches one of these symbols, which he said to him reminded him of Egyptian hieroglyphics. Okay.
Cool.
And he touches the craft and he notes that it's hard and smooth, except for the symbols, which he said felt like sandpaper. And when he touched the symbols, it made the bright light on the top of the craft, on the fin,
very happy.
No, it powered up and it blinded him again. Oh, and he claims at this point, he began to see a series of numbers in his mind. All ones and zeros. But it faded as his vision came back.
We got some binary codes going on in his head, the Matrix.
He had no idea what the fuck is it. This is 1980.
Right.
He said when he removed his hand from the symbol, the light dimmed again, and he stood there for a couple of minutes longer taking notes until the craft suddenly began to float silently up for, he said it took 2 minutes until it was above the tree line. And at that point, it took off into the sky at an impossible rate of speed. And in his notebook, he actually wrote, speed impossible. Little, what's his name, from The Simpsons, Wiggins kid.
Oh, Ralph?
Ralph Wiggins.
Me fail English? Impossible.
Kind of like that. That's what I, when I read it, that's what I thought.
I had the Blues Brothers in my head. Our blessed mother of acceleration, don't fail me now. Let's get it.
So Burroughs experienced something completely different. In his official statement, he said he got to his feet. After the blinding light, he saw this red oval-shaped light in the clearing that looked like, he said it looked like the sun. And that Peniston walked towards it, and then it rose above the trees and shot off to the east. That was his initial statement. No, I'm sorry. That's his written statement. His initial statement 3 days after E.T. phoned home, he submitted sketches that were very close to what Peniston had drawn. But I think that Peniston told him that he was going to like basically take the heat for this, because you got to realize this is after Project Blue Book has ended. So technically they are not
But was it really ended?
Well, they said right. It was. And it ended in 1979. This is 1980. So we're past all that shit. And at this point, it's not a good thing to talk about UFOs in the Air Force, as far as I know. It could be a career ender, if I understand it correctly, at this point in time. So anyway, after it left, they began to look around. They inspect the area. They noticed that some branches of the trees around the clearing had been snapped. And on the ground, they discovered the three points where the ship's legs had been. And then they returned to the Jeep and checked their watches, noting that it had been about 10 minutes since they had sent Chandler back. But when they returned to the Jeep, Chandler and Cabin Sag were freaking out, informing them that they'd been gone for 45 minutes. So,
here we go. We know what happened.
So both of these guys' watches are synced up that were there, and they're 45 minutes behind the other guys.
So it's like pulling out the compass and the thing spinning around. Your watch is all fucked up, and we know what happens in lost time.
And they both experienced it at the same time, and their watches proved it. Because their watches were both showing the same time. And in the meantime, Chandler and Cabin Sag are sitting there like fucking phoning back to the base, going like, where the fuck? We don't know where the fuck they're at. And everybody's freaking out on the base, thinking that these guys have disappeared. So,
wow. So they didn't see the lights or anything from the Jeep where they were at?
They saw some lights, but they didn't see what...
any of that, what went on while those two were in there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, skeptics will chalk it up to, like, stress, excitement, the fog of the cold winter's night, but it fits into the whole narrative of... extraterrestrial encounter was my finger. I'll make like a light up like
swamp gas. Yeah, of course, in the middle.
Yes,
of the,
like last time is like the hallmark of abduction stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that our fable little monkey brains can't grasp, you know. So when the men were debriefed, they learned that many other guys had seen the lights in the sky. And two other men patrolling the base had reported seeing lights in the forest the same night. But while driving towards it, a bright light had been cast down on the Jeep. Their engine had died and it wouldn't start. And according to, I guess, protocol here, these guys were supposed to contact the British authorities. And rather than contact government authorities, they called the local police to tell them what was happening. And the police told them that they had found a spot where the object looked like it had landed. So, got more people to back this shit up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, like, so we have watch stopping. Yeah. And this is one of the most
well documented UFO cases ever.
How do I not know about this? I mean,
I'm glad I surprised you, motherfuckers.
I am too, dude. This is new to me.
Hello, the government was involved. That's why you don't
know. That's true. That's true.
All right, so the next day, the whole thing had become a big joke, how Peniston and Burroughs had been chasing UFOs all night. That was, like, all over the base. It was rampant. So when Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt shows up at 4 a.m. and starts hearing his men talk, he finds Peniston and Burroughs, and he recommends that
they use did you just say he found Peniston and Burroughs?
And.
Oh,
Andy.
Okay. I was going to say, they went through some traumatic stuff together. Maybe they found a bond that was stronger than you can imagine.
Yes. Not Peniston in Burrow. No. Okay. How about he found Burrow and Peniston? Is that better?
Got it.
And he told them both that he preferred them to use the term unexplained lights instead of UFO in their reports, because, as I stated earlier, Project Blue Book had ended, and this sort of attention was not what any of them wanted if they had any hopes of a career in the Air Force.
I wonder how many people out there, because that's the thing about it, I wonder how many people out there have seen something crazy going on in the sky and just took it to their deathbed. I'm not saying shit. They're going to think I'm crazy.
If you're in the air, you know, any sort of like aircraft driving, pilot stuff. You don't think
aircraft driving. I love
aircraft. You know, the aircraft drivers.
Those pilots.
Yeah, the aircraft drivers. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who does things like that.
You know, the guy at the drive the aircraft. This guy. They turn on their blinkers and shit. You know this guy.
You can drive that son of a bitch or not.
God damn right. Anyway.
Leave your imaginary friend out of it. Yes.
So when the
base whole world brings theirs into it, I can play with mine. At least he knows how to fly something.
No. You mean drive?
I love it.
You can drive that thing away through the air.
We're going into the Hudson. Drive this motherfucker.
Would you prefer that I pilot this craft or just hop in and drive it?
It sounds hard. It sounds more badass when you say drive it. Just drive it.
All right. Okay. So when the base commander, Ted Conrad, received the reports that had been made, and there were multiple, he immediately classified them all as secret.
Now we're in his head. He's got a complex. Fucking him up, yeah. Art.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate
Sorry,
that.
Brother. Sorry, brother.
Me feel English impossible. A small team was sent to gather evidence at the site, and it backed up much of what Peniston and Burroughs had reported. Okay, so that's the first night. And on the second night, December 28th. Okay, so they had not had a Christmas party. So they're having their Christmas party this evening because a lot of people had been off base, you know. So they're having.
Sounds like two of them were off base anyway. Yeah. What they're seeing.
All right.
Okay, Christmas party.
All right. Hey, now.
You know what I like about high school girls?
Okay.
Now you're just.
You just really wanted to say that.
You got to do this when you do it. Same age.
Same age. They sure do.
So, December 28th, second night, Christmas party at the base bar. So the drinks were being tossed back. Fun was being had. And the shit talking about the UFOs was probably in diarrhea mode, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, just flowing over. Yep.
Yeah, everybody was having a good old chuckle about it.
Everybody that didn't see its running mouth and the people that did are getting pissed that they weren't believed.
Yep. So all of a sudden, this on-duty lieutenant comes running into the bar, runs over to Colonel Halt, and tells him that this thing is back. So Halt looks around, grabs several men, and tells them to join him, and they went out to investigate.
Looking for a few good men. We'll go.
A few good sober men, which might have been hard to do in a fucking bar on base, I'm guessing.
If I'd have been the one that seen it and was in that bar and heard that, I'd have been like, all right, motherfuckers, let's go. You want to see this?
Hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah. I'm going to slap you in the mouth.
Yeah. So he orders some of these men to set up some lights and aim them towards the sky, but none of these lights would work. I'm not sure what kind of lights they were. I think they were powered by fuel. Todd, enlighten me. I have no idea.
All engines generating power, yes.
Okay. Generators for those. So these were big lights. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like he wanted to see if he could fucking spot this thing in the sky.
Proper designation would be NF2s, or commonly referred to as a LIDAR.
LIDAR sounds correct. Yes.
Yep, LIDAR works.
I just didn't write it down. This is all jotted. So,
but I can Halt neither confirm nor deny that.
Of course, right. You were just taking a guess, a stab at it. Yeah.
Speculation.
Shot in the dark.
I see my head now. Okay. Fair enough. It's no one's going to sing it, but it's definitely in there right now.
So at this point, Halt takes two men with him, Master Sergeant Bobby Ball.
Was one of them called Oats?
No. No. He takes Bobby Ball and Sergeant Monroe Nevels, and they went into the forest to investigate.
I said, Nevels. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh. And Halt always carried a tape recorder with him everywhere he went, and he had it with him that evening. And you can fly. What?
That's fucking suspicious as hell. If I had a friend that just carried...
He was meticulous about everything. And you can find this 18-minute excerpt from that evening online. If you search for it, it's all public domain.
Wow.
But he has stated that there's like 4 hours of tape from that evening, much of which will never be released to the public.
Naturally.
So these three guys go into... They go to the landing site from the night before, and then they notice a spot on the ground that looks like it was burned, like it's been burned. So they take a Geiger counter over it, and it produces a short singular spike. Now, all these UFO fucking skeptics say that this was due to it's mechanical error.
Or it was functioning properly.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The men also noticed that the trees that surrounded this area all had marks that faced inward towards the clearing in the middle, like burn marks and scratches and bark missing and shit.
Okay. So then hold on. No. Point of order here.
Okay.
This sounds like you're just fucking taking this out of the Blair Witch, bro.
No, I'm not. This is what the Blair Witch is fucking taking it from. This is the story. This is the origin.
Okay. Carry on.
This is 1980. When did the Blair Witch come out?
2000-something.
There you go.
No, the Blair Witch came out in the 1600s. Hello.
Anyway. These guys, then they broke out their nitrogen goggles. And they noticed that there are hot spots that surround this entire area. Now, this is December. It's 30 fucking degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hot spots. Explain that shit.
30 degrees out right now would be a hot spot for me, anyway, as it sits today.
I appreciate the quiet of them folks up in Utah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
And it's like 20 degrees it's 20 here years, for the last. So go fuck yourself, Matt. So at this point, they take soil samples from the area around the indentations from the craft that had landed the previous evening. And around this time, they start to hear animals from a nearby farm start to freak out. And then they see this small light that was around a quarter of a mile away up in the sky, kept appearing and then disappearing. So they try to move to get a better view, and they notice that everything has gone completely silent. So they turn the lights off, and they realize that the light was moving towards them.
Oh, Snapple.
Yeah, that's where you want to... At first, I had...
Holy big donkey dicks, motherfucker. Yeah, it's sorry. Time to run. Skedaddle.
I'm sorry. Most of the time, when people talk, I songs constantly pop up in my head. So when you said in the silence, I heard Breaking the Silence from Queen's Run. When you said it was heading toward him, I'm like, run like... to the hills. It's time to get the fuck out of here.
I was more in a Depeche Mode, like, moonlight silence, break the silence.
Mine was way cooler.
You were right,
harder to sing, though.
But mine came from the 80s, so. So they describe this thing they see as a big red eye with, like, a black ring surrounding it. Like a blinking eye. Yeah, like Sauron, yes. It starts starting left and right. Towards them through the trees with sparks like flying out of it. And it as it got closer, it shoots
the scariest thing imaginable, really. I mean, what is flying at us looking like that? A giant eye with sparks flying out of it is flying at us. Yeah. Time to go.
Yeah, time to go.
See you later,
bad time to be a hobbit.
The ring is mine, Sam. As it got closer,
get your fucking hairy toes moving, motherfucker. It's time to go. Get the fuck out of here.
Call the Eagles. Get Gandalf. So as it gets closer, it shoots this beam of light down that was like laser thin, like a laser beam. And it hits this area that was like maybe 10 feet in front of these guys. And then this thing darts up over the Woodbridge base and then shoots this beam over the base. Then the red light separated into several different white lights and then shot up into the night sky.
What and in then the fuck? Point,
they observed three bright lights maneuvering in seemingly intelligent patterns all through the sky.
Did it? Is it like one ship released other ships? Is that what they thought, or was it just
not specified? But I do have I've got the clip here, and I kind of cut it down. It's like maybe 2 minutes long. If you want to listen to it,
yeah, hell yes.
Okay, so this is a few spots from this 18-minute clip right here. So this is Halt's recording. Oh shit, that's the wrong one. Let's try that again.
Zero 148, we're getting very strange sounds out of the farmer's barnyard animals. It's very, very active, making an awful lot of noise.
Yeah, it's a big mutation.
You just saw a light where? Where?
Right in this position here, straight ahead, in between the tree. There it is again.
Let's move out to the edge of the clearing so we can get a better look at it. See if you can get the star scope on it. The light's still there, and all the barnyard animals have gotten quiet now. Weird. It appears to be maybe moving a little bit this way. It's brighter than it has been.
Yeah.
It's coming this way. It is definitely coming this way.
It's coming right for us.
They're shooting off. There is no doubt about it. This is weird.
Breathing getting heavier, too. A little panic.
This dude's always been by the book.
Always so was professional. By the book. Yeah.
This is a super professional guy. He was a career military guy.
Mine would have been more descriptive.
If you want to check it out, go for
Lots
it.
Of adjectives.
It's like fucking like 400 pages of nothing but shit like that. There's like, this is every fucking thing that was ever documented and said about this whole incident.
Wow.
But this is the most well-documented case, like UFO case, and it has so many firsthand people involved. There's over 80 different people that have verified that this happened, and these are all military people. This does not count civilians and all the other bullshit and all
the
other secondary.
The military has never lied.
Well, no, but it does.
I'll tell you what.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
In a second, but like the
They are held to a higher standard, though, so you expect better.
Shit about this until 2000 when they Freedom of Information Act was passed. Mm-hmm. And then that's when all this shit came to light for everybody else. There were whispers of it in the UFO community up until that point. But anyway. So Halt's
was
presence.
Was Bob Lazar there?
No. No.
I just want to throw that name out as often as I can every time we talk about UFOs.
How Lazar?
Oh, no. What in the fuck did I do?
Yeah, you started it, motherfucker. So
Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar.
Yeah. So Halt's presence added an official dimension to this incident, and he was a high-ranking military officer responsible for security of a base that probably housed nuclear fucking weapons that would be like the first line assault in the Cold War. I'm guessing that's why the UFOs were there. That's why they were fucking scanning the base. It's because it housed nuclear weapons. Because think about how many times it's been noted that like all these nuclear power plants and all these nuclear warheads, you get the UFO show up. So I'm guessing that's why.
Both times I seen one, I was only like 3 or 4 miles from the power plant whenever I seen them. Both times.
Yeah.
So little green men don't know. Whatever it was, I had no idea.
So
it wasn't cool. Also,
at the same time, while this is happening, John Burroughs from the first night has his second encounter. Because when he hears that all the shit's going on at the base, he rushes back. He feels like strangely drawn to it. And in his account later, he says he just wanted to make sure he wasn't fucking crazy from the first night that he didn't fucking imagine the whole thing.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So confirmation. Halt had told his men to keep Burroughs away from the landing site so that he wouldn't like influence their investigation at all. But as soon as these lights came and appeared to them, he requested that Burroughs join them and confirm that it was the same craft that he'd seen the previous night. Okay. So as Burroughs approaches the area in this Jeep with a driver, he and the driver were hit by this big blue blinding light. So they stop and they get out and they see this white flying object floating in the distance. So Burroughs walks towards this blue light and disappears into it for several minutes.
No boy.
Afterwards, he has no fucking memory of what happened during that time.
We know what happened.
We don't know.
We do know. Todd Wilson. Well, that's what happens.
This has nothing to do with gay porn.
No, but...
So, despite all this evidence collected by Halt and his team and the 80 people who claim to have witnessed the lights on both bases, the military initially sought conventional explanations for the sightings. Some of them were like...
swamp gas.
Exactly, like natural phenomena. Like... There was a Russian satellite that burned up that night. Okay.
Uranus was in view.
That happened that night. There's a lighthouse near there. So they were like, this is
a lighthouse. What the fuck is
that? No.
What? How far are they away?
Accounts, though, the audio recordings and the evidence, the marks on the ground, damaged, you know, trees and shit, present a challenge to these explanations. And they're seeing this shit shoot up into the sky. How the fuck is that shit falling down?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nope.
In the aftermath, as more information surfaced and witnesses came forward, the military stance on the incident evolved, and some officials continued to downplay the event, and others acknowledged the unexplained natural sighting, leaving room for speculation. It's one of the most well-known UFO cases, like as far as testimony and evidence goes, because you have so many fucking people that saw it.
How angry?
You got the ground marks, you got the burn marks, and radiation. And some of these guys, like Peniston, he was unable to perform at work for like 2 weeks after this shit happened to him. And
I know why Todd's
giggling. He said until he wrote all this shit down in a notebook, like all the zeros and ones, until he wrote it all down in a notebook, It was like he was cloudy and he couldn't fucking do anything right. And
so
he
you're
fucking
saying
wrote it all down in a notebook and he fucking forgot about it. And then 20 years later, he remembered that he'd written all this shit down. He gives it to like somebody that's interviewing him and they put it into a machine.
Bob Lazar?
It comes back. And it's binary code. And it's basically like saying that this is time travel and these people are coming back to look. And
So as Peniston's unable to perform, you're saying if Morpheus would have offered him the pills, he would have definitely taken the blue one?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And if you want to check out, if you want to check out some of his actual testimony, you know, like all these UFO congressional hearings that just happened earlier this year or earlier last year, Peniston actually was called and he spoke in front of Congress, and you can find it on YouTube.
No shit. Okay, yeah. I got to watch that. Because how angry would you be if you seen something like that and you're like, I'm just trying to tell you what happened.
It's the whole thing like, yeah, it's, I got it written down in a notebook. You know, I forgot about it for a long time.
And then didn't. How do you forget about bullshit?
And the person that's interviewing him from Congress, she's like, you should probably put that in the fucking safety deposit box. He's like, it's whatever. It's just a notebook, you know? But they time dated it, and it's like, it's all, it happened within that time frame when that's when he wrote it.
Wow. So, what's that thing worth? And he just doesn't have a story really anywhere.
So, well, I mean, this plays into like time travel, parallel dimensions, everything. Like, you know, it's obviously government cover up. The UK basically denied all this shit until the Freedom of Information Act came into play. And then after
you that, don't say.
But see, their Freedom of Information Act didn't come into play until 2000. And that's when a lot of the shit was released. So anyway, that's all I got. I didn't want to delve into deep. I mean, we could spend another fucking hour on this shit. But
yeah, but that's the thing about it. You brought it out there that I never knew about it. Now I want to go check it out and I'll look into it more. There's not going to be any answer. So it's going to be, you're going to know this much anyway.
I mean, there's no definitive answer. It just raises a lot of questions. But the truth is out there.
To believe.
Something like that.
Any more? Anybody else?
Okay. Lindsay, shut up. Lindy, shut up. Just shut up. You haven't said anything in like 10 minutes. Come on.
I have two.
But the last three. Time you told her to talk, she threw maxi pads out there just out in the, on a whim. Just launch this out.
I'm okay with that.
It was funny as fuck.
I'm just surprised at this point that Red Bull has not started making maxi pads.
Okay, it does give you wings. Yes.
Todd, do you have anything to add to this? I mean, being the Air Force and whatnot. Let me guess. You can neither confirm nor deny.
How much longer do we have to wait? I mean, really? How much?
6 years.
Is it six more years? Fucking hell. Okay. I can wait. Only 6 years.
Unfortunately, NDAs last a lifetime. So
that's very true. I forgot about that part. Damn it.
Well,
this could be expensive. If I say things,
start a GoFundMe to pay my legal fees, buddy.
You better start it over in Saudi Arabia with those dudes. Got fucking bank accounts, buddy. So I'm gonna need it.
Well, folks, I'm Jared Ferguson, and that's the news. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us this week and tuning in, and continue to like, rate, and review the podcast. And
Spotify, baby.
Yep. What Matt said. That's the way to watch it, because you can watch it. You don't have to listen to it. You can actually watch us, and you can see my ugly mug.
I do think it's gotten to the point now that it's more in my head that people are watching it. So I'm watching Todd more often than normal because a lot of the stuff he does just cracks me up.
I have to apologize for my last episode when my
headset
malfunctioned. Oh, no. It was good. You're fine. We were good. Oh, by the way, your book is going to Mr. Kevin Todd.
Nice.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And
we got to, and then the last episode we did, has anybody Has anybody, the not last yet, episode that we were in? Okay, nobody's got to checked. That yet. Okay. Kevin, you can't keep winning all of them. I mean, you can. I just can't send you stuff every time. So. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for hanging out this week. We will see you next week. If you have any suggestions for podcast episodes, we'd love to hear them. Just email us or hit us up on Spotify. I've left that spot open now so you can actually just respond and just type in whatever you think we should do. We did have a couple requests for Dimebag Daryl. along with this one, and that's why I picked this one this week. So,
somebody requested. We just coming straight off of Robert Johnson. Somebody wants Dimebag. Hell yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we'll do that next month. Maybe we'll do
I'm calling it. I'm going to take that one for sure. Okay.
That's funny because I was thinking about dude and Sid and Nancy.
Cool. That'd be good too. Oh. All right.
So. Well, I'll do guys, a guy that can play an instrument. You do a guy that couldn't. It'd be great.
That deserves this. All right. Guys, that's all we've got this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate everyone that has stuck with us this long and continues to do so.
Hell yeah.
Until next week, I'm Zach.
Spar.
Lindy.
Meat Popsicle.
And the Meat Popsicle. All right. We will see you guys next Tuesday. Until then, later.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Ah! It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
Bye, Roger.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?